Welcome to Timeless Truths. Timeless Truths is a ministry of the Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario, and features the preaching and teaching of Pastor Jerry Burns. Our prayer, as always, is that this program will be a blessing to you and that you will find God's hope and help for your life. So join us now as we discover God in His timeless truths.
Verse number one, a Christian woman is to be different and look different than the world. The world dresses in a way that says, look at me. Now, notice what Peter has to say. Now, the context here is he's writing to a woman whose husband is not saved. And he's writing to this this woman that she would be different because her husband doesn't believe the Bible and doesn't live according to the Bible. But by the way the woman lives, it's an opportunity for the husband, the unbelieving husband, to be saved. That's the context. He says in verse number 1, chapter 3, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection into your own husbands, that if any man, that if any obey not the word, that's speaking of the word of God, and that's talking about the husband, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wife. So though they don't believe the word of God, though they don't follow the word of God, though they don't have the word of God, the way that the woman lives is the Bible to him. All right, it's right there in the text. So he says in verse number 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it be not that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. So same idea as what Paul is saying to Timothy, writing to the church at Ephesus. And verse 4, he says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. So a Christian woman's desire, according to the Bible, now remember, take me out of the equation, because this is not my opinion. This is what God is saying. The Bible teaches a Christian woman's desire is not, should not be look at me, but look at Christ. All right, that's what the Bible is saying. In this text, the hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible, ought to be the most attractive part of a woman's life. Do you understand what the Bible is teaching? The hidden man of the heart ought to be the most attractive part of a woman's life. In other words, the world says, look at my physical appearance. That's how the world lives. That's how the world dresses. That's how Hollywood is always portrayed. That's what the world says. But in a renewed mind, in a Christian attitude ought to be, look at my spiritual attribute. Look at Christ in me, the hope of glory. And the Bible says that the hidden man of the heart, which to God is a great price, which is not corruptible, even this ornament. So we talk about, you know, a woman that is dressing for outward appearance, this ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. So in other words, we have a someone who is controlled and someone who is reflecting Christ in their life, then this is what the Bible says ought to be the focus of each Christian lady. Now let's go back to our text, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible says, in like a manner also, the woman adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or apparels or costly array. But verse 10, so he exactly what Peter is saying, he comes back to this, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. This is a thought. Someone had this to say. It is not appropriate for women who profess to be the followers of the Savior to seek to be distinguished for personal external decorations. If they are Christians, they have seen the vanity of these things and have fixed the heart on more sustainable realities. They are professed followers of him who went about doing good, and the performance of good works especially becomes them. In other words, they want Christ to be seen in their life. They profess to affix the affections on God, their Savior, and to be living for heaven. It is not becoming in them to seek those ornaments as would indicate that the heart is supremely attached to worldly things. So I think what the Bible is teaching us in this passage of Scripture is that a woman is to dress and a woman is to live and to act that Christ can be seen in her life. And this, by the way, this is not just for women. This is for all of us. So we all can learn. Men, we can learn from this as well. You know, Paul said that they glorified God in me, and that ought to be our desire. But within the context of the church here, we see that Christ ought to be seen, that they ought to live their life as professed godliness. And we are in women, they are to radiate the love of God, radiate the love of God and Christ in their heart. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, charity, and holiness with sobriety. So first of all, we find in verse 11 and 12, I think the Bible is very clear that a woman should not be a preacher. I think the Bible is very clear in this teaching that a woman is not to have spiritual authority within the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34, Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said this, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted for them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law." Now, I heard one person, I'm not sure if he was a preacher, but I heard that his belief was that when a woman steps into the church, she's not to say a word until she steps out of the church. Now, that's not what the Bible is saying. The context of this passage of Scripture is spiritual leadership within the church and teaching spiritual things within the congregation here. The Bible says here that the woman is to keep silent. Obviously, we're talking about a woman with spiritual leadership within the church. He says in verse 12, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over a man, to take the role that has been given to a man, but to keep in silence," is the thought in this passage. Now, God gives to us two reasons why this is his plan. By the way, God doesn't have to give reasons, but he does. And he tells why this is his plan. Number one, we see in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve." So this is the reason, the first reason that the Spirit of God gives to us and why a woman is not to have spiritual leadership within the church. "For Adam was first formed, then Eve." Now, this is not merely about the order of creation. If that was true, then every older person would have authority over every younger person. And if that was true, then there are people who are men that are older than me that are here that are very capable that they should be preaching and not me. And we understand that God calls a man and God leads a man to the church, and that's pastoral authority. God brought me here over 10 years ago, and we understand that. So the Bible is not teaching just order of creation. So what is the thought in this passage of Scripture? Well, Adam was created first by God. Eve was formed second out of Adam's rib. Adam was created by God to reign. Eve was created as a companion. Now, all of these do not denote importance. Adam is not more important than Eve because he was created to reign, and Eve was created as a helpmeet. This doesn't speak of importance. Listen, stop listening to the world and letting the world try to tell you what God is trying to say. God is not saying this at all, and I can prove it in just a moment. But this is talking about God's plan. God has a plan. Remember, to God, everything is to be decently and in order. We serve a God of order. We serve a God of order. And that's why it doesn't even make sense for God, even if you think about theistic evolution, where God was involved in a big bang, that God made the big bang and everything is in existence. Listen, God is not a God of disorder. God is a God of order. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He is a God of order. Now, God has order in the home, and God has order within the church. And this speaks of roles. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 3, the Bible says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Even within the Godhead, there is role and responsibility. There is order, because God is a God of order. God the Father sent his Son. God was glorified in his Son coming to the world. Jesus glorified his Father. The Holy Spirit spoke those things which glorified Jesus Christ. He testified of Jesus Christ. So even within the, the Godhead, there is role and responsibility, and there is order. Now, the Bible says that the head of Christ is God, God the Father. Now, does that mean that God the Father is greater than God the Son? No, they are equally God. They are equally important. They are the Godhead. Therefore, the man is not better than the woman. No, they just have different roles and responsibilities. Again, stop listening to the world and letting the world tell us what God means. God knows what he wrote. He wrote what he meant. And there's truth here. God has roles and responsibilities. So God has a plan. God created man with a purpose. God created woman with a purpose. Number two, look what it says in verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So the most important spiritual position that Eve was placed in, when Eve took headship, we see that the woman was deceived. Now, Satan had aimed temptation at Eve's head. She was deceived. Satan aimed temptation toward Adam's heart. You know, the devil did not tempt Adam directly. He let Eve do it. The Bible says in Genesis 3, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, by the way, in Genesis 3, 6, we have the very definition of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. She saw that it was good for food. She saw that it was pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. It was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life. She took of the fruit thereof, she did eat. She gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. She assumed the leadership role. In Adam's disobedience, all humanity was plunged into sin. The Bible says that God put the responsibility for the fall on Adam, not Eve. But the Bible makes it clear that Eve was in the transgression. Verse number 14. Her rash hand and evil hour, forth reaching to tile fruit, she plucked, she ate. And that describes our terrible fate. All of humanity plunged into sin. For by one man, sin entered into the world. Death by sin, so death passed upon all men. For all have sinned. Now look what the Bible says in verse 15. And I'll be done. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity, holiness, and sobriety. Now, in Eve's case, an immediate penalty for her transgression was given. In Genesis 3, verse 16, the Bible says, God said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Because of the involvement in the sin that plunged all humanity into sin, because of the involvement of Eve, the Bible says that she will have sorrow in conception. I don't know what God's plan was for the woman before the fall, but it sounds like, ladies, it was going to be a walk in the park. And you have Eve to blame. I think in heaven there's going to be a long lineup. They want all these ladies, I want to talk to Eve. Eve had to go through it too. The Bible says that God barred woman from leadership in the church, but this excludes, in this passage of scripture, the teaching and childbearing to the child. And I believe, women, you have a wonderful opportunity to teach children. The Bible says that Timothy understood this very well in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Timothy didn't have a mother behind the pulpit, but didn't have a preacher in the pulpit, but Timothy had a mother that was a preacher in the home. And the Bible says in verse 15 of 2 Timothy chapter 3 that from a child that was known the Holy Scriptures. Now, the Bible teaches us that Timothy's mother was a godly woman. In fact, she had unfeigned faith. That means she had genuine faith in God. And Timothy's father was a Greek. A lot of Bible scholars, and this is all conjecture, I'm not sure, but a lot of Bible teachers believe that Timothy's dad was not a Christian. That Timothy was raised by really a single mother in the home. In fact, a lot of people believe that Timothy's dad died when he was younger. But the reality is that Timothy's mother loved God, and Timothy's mother taught him the word of God. And Paul made it very clear that Timothy, as a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Remember, our prayer for the world, for every man, is that they would come to the knowledge of the truth. How do we get to the knowledge? How does someone get to the knowledge of the truth? How is someone made wise unto salvation? By being told the Holy Scriptures, you see. And so the Bible says that Timothy, as a child, was made known about his sin and a Savior that loved him. And Timothy trusted Christ at a young age, as a child. Now, the teaching here that we find in this passage of Scripture is the headship within the church, leadership within the church, by usurping authority over the man given in the Scripture. And yet a woman has a rewarding opportunity to teach a child. Now, notice what the Bible says here. I think this is important for us to look at, because this teaching is amplified. And this is what God has taught me from this passage of Scripture, from my own life. This teaching is amplified when a woman continues in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. Now, sobriety speaks of being serious-minded. Faith is, I believe, a good definition of faith is looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Charity is love. Holiness is separation, is the thought there. Godly living. And so this teaching is amplified in the life of a woman when she continues this life of faith in God and charity and holiness. Now, think about this. The lessons of the lips are important. Now, we think about the context of this passage of Scripture. She shall be saved in childbearing. She has a wonderful opportunity to teach children, to make children wise unto salvation. Someone has said, the one that rocks the cradle rules the world. And I want to say, and I hope that the Lord is my witness. I hope that this is in good attitude anyway. I think a mother's responsibility is greater than that man behind the pulpit. Think about that opportunity to teach a child the things of Christ. It's important. The lessons of the lips are important, but listen to me. The lessons of a life are equally important. And what is the point if a woman teaches the child the gospel, but doesn't live it herself? You know, the Bible says, let your life, let your conversation, the way you live your life, let it be as it becometh the gospel. And so, you know, ladies, let me just encourage you here. Men, let me encourage you as well, because we can learn something from this. We need to preach the gospel, but we need to live our life as it becometh the gospel. And we need to continue to live our life with love and faith and holiness. A child needs to hear the truth, but a child needs to see the truth with their eyes, that mom, what she preaches is true. She believes it with all of her heart. And even if your children are strayed from the Lord, show them that what you believe is true to the core, that there is a God that loves them. And you want them to know the God that you serve and love. The lessons of lips are important, but the lessons of life are equally important. Listen, your doctrine is thus adorned in a godly life. We talk about a woman and the way that she dresses and the way that presents the Lord Jesus. And the Bible makes it clear that, you know, we have a new nature, and the God of the Bible and the world, they're contrary one to another, right? I mean, the God of this world, the Lucifer, you know, I don't think that you can look at Hollywood and say that's godly, right? I mean, let's be honest. You can't look at everything that's happening on Hollywood and say, hey, they're following the Lord. No, come on. They're following themselves. The God of this world, they're following a course they don't even know about. It's led by the devil himself. And they're living for themselves and the pleasures of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the course of this world. And we're not to live that type of life. We have a higher call. And the Bible says that we are to live a life, and specifically the women here, you are to dress in a way that doesn't draw attention to you, but the God that is within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the Bible teaches us here in this passage of Scripture that a woman has a wonderful responsibility of teaching children And I think for all of us, we can learn this lesson. The lessons of lips are important, but the lessons of our life are equally important. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for, we thank you for all you've done for us. And Lord, we are truly grateful for your word. We are truly grateful for the light that you shine on our lives each day. And we are thankful for this church. And Lord, we know that we are not a perfect church, but we strive to be like a perfect Savior. And I pray, Heavenly Father, you would help us as we look at your word to allow your word to guide and direct us. Father, it is our desire, Lord, to be like you. And so, Lord, I pray your spirit would work in our hearts and in our lives.
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236 or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
It's Pastor Jerry Burns, and again, I want to thank you for tuning into our program this Lord's Day. Our society is in a crisis. The Bible teaches us that it is God's Word that will make a difference in our lives, and yet our churches today have turned away from the Bible. The Bible has been replaced with entertainment, and we have left, thus saith the Lord. I want to invite you to a church that still preaches the Bible. At Kitchener Baptist Church, we'll have a time of singing, and then we'll open the Word of God, and we'll see what God is thinking about. We'll see what God cares about. We'll see what God has to say to us. I hope you'll join us this morning at 10:30 at Kitchener Baptist Church. God bless you.